Good morning, Elias.
We sound like twins.
We didn't plan that.
And how are you proceeding, and what shall we discuss?
Go ahead.
So you got a timer?
Yep.
All right, I'm going to go first. We're going to split the session, and we'll do a Goddess Acre check-in in August.
Very well.
So I was going to update you on what I've been doing, and I want to talk about two concepts or two things. One is curiosity, and one is brilliance. And I thought I'd talk about the curiosity first. I've been following my curiosity. I've decided to use that term rather than following my passion or my interest, because it seemed to have less expectation and more of an exploratory sense to it for me. One of the things I've been practicing is when I hear myself say, as I do often internally, that I don't understand, or I don't see, I don't know, I've been experimenting with reframing it and shifting the perspective but I'm curious to see what unfolds, or I'm curious to see what I create. Does that make sense?
Excellent.
Yeah, it seems to be working. Some things have been happening, and I've kind of layered that on top of doing some of the suggestions Jason had made as well. But I find that I'm enjoying exploring new curiosities that have kind of come to me. I'm taking a video mastery class, and I have, so it's kind of creative.
How are you proceeding with that? What are you engaging?
Right now I'm just going through and getting a big overview of it, and then I'm going to take a mastery class in which you're actually producing videos on a smartphone. So I'm just kind of curious right now. I don't have really a concrete plan for it. I've been watching a lot of cooking videos, and part of the interest was in, you know, like online classes. And so it's, you know, as I'm watching this online class by videographers, it's really cool because they do exactly what they're teaching. And so it's been exciting. I don't know what I'll do with it, but I'm enjoying exploring.
Excellent.
And I've also been exploring new links, kind of circling back to the my interest in epigenetics and neuroplasticity. I'd always wanted to find a way to connect the two, and I think I'm finding that link in mindfulness. Sort of neuro-mindfulness. And so I haven't put the pieces together or woven anything together, but it is something that I'm finding to be very interesting, and it also connects to the learning, the neuro-teaching and neuro-learning that I talked to you about earlier.
Excellent. Congratulations.
Thanks.
I would be tremendously acknowledging of you. And I would also be acknowledging of you that your energy has considerably shifted at this point.
I think it has. I recognize it in my in what my body's reflecting back to me. I feel like my body has come back in many ways.
I would say that your energy is considerably different than it was in our previous conversation.
Yes, I can feel that, and I'll circle back around to that in a minute when I ask you about brilliance. One of the other things that has happened is that I continue to apply for jobs and things that I was interested in, and I thought I was competitive and continue to get the black hole thing. But then Nye, the guy that I worked for doing admissions evaluation last year, started emailing and calling me, recruiting me to work for them again, and even offered to give me more hours. Still, it's a temporary job, you know, no benefits or anything. But I decided to go with it. There was, at one point, it felt like it was a little bit of settling or a desperate move. But in the end, it felt like a way that I could continue my explorations until the middle of September, and that it would allow me to relax and just have the freedom to see where some of these interests might go, what they might end up creating, without constantly tapping my foot and watching for emails or trying to put all the pieces together.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I think it ends up being a workable solution for now.
Excellent.
I'm a little nervous, and I think my son is a little worried that it doesn't come with it doesn't. You know, I don't have insurance, medical insurance with it, and I haven't really decided what I'm going to do about that. There's a part of me that would just like to not have medical insurance and just trust my body for a year. But I have some pretty strong associations and beliefs about responsibility and having insurance. So I haven't figured that out yet.
I would encourage you, and I would express that it is important to acknowledge the beliefs that you have and not to fight with that.
Okay.
I understand that there are times and there are subjects that individuals look at that they don't necessarily agree with, such as insurance. An individual may not agree with that idea, that concept, that they don't agree with the idea of protection, but they do align with it. And it is actually to your greater benefit to not fight with that and to not move in expressions in which you are being spiteful to yourself.
Right. So I had thought that maybe, you know, I might do something that's more like a mid path, and do something that was, you know, not a huge coverage, but something maybe with Obamacare that would give me major protection, but figure I could cover the rest.
I would say an acceptable direction.
Yeah, it just seemed like, well, that way it wasn't looking at it black and white, and maybe go a middle path, so I could feel comfortable, but not spend every penny I make in my temporary job on insurance and.
I understand.
I think I'll come back to the financial part in a minute. I had a session with a friend of mine who's a life coach and an author, and she's also an intuitive, so to speak. Like, she hears guides or, you know, senses things about people. And one of the insights she shared with me was in regard to what she called my brilliance, and that she felt like I didn't trust my brilliance, and that I didn't let my gift shine, and asked me if something was holding me back in that regard. And so I've been pondering, you know, what does it mean? What is my brilliance? And, you know, is there something holding me back from whatever that is? And so I thought it might be interesting for us to talk about those questions.
And what is your assessment thus far?
Well, I mean, as an academic, you know, the first thing I thought about, you know, was somebody who's intellectually brilliant. And then when Brenda and I talked, it kind of shifted more to more of that inner brilliance, or that Leo-esque part of my personality that I think has kind of diminished somewhat. But I didn't really settle on anything.
I would say that perhaps a significant aspect of the brilliance at this point presently is what you are focusing on in relation to curiosity. Because your curiosity is an expression of brilliance. What is brilliance?
I was hoping you would have one of your nice Sumafi definitions for brilliance. Then maybe it wouldn't be subjective. There would be. What do you think brilliance is, Elias?
What I would say brilliance is anything that is tremendously bright and shining and illuminated.
I like the illuminated. Okay.
Therefore, you could very well attribute that to your curiosity, because your curiosity actually does create shining that luminescence onto any subject that you direct it towards. It creates a brightness. It creates a shining onto whatever subject you are directing it towards. Therefore, curiosity can be brilliant in itself also.
Okay, makes sense.
Therefore, that may be an aspect of your brilliance, what you express in brilliance presently. I would say that brilliance is something that isn't necessarily fixed. It changes. It is expressed in different manners at different times, and I would say that it isn't always expressed in the same manner throughout your life. It is actually something that very frequently is fluctuating. Therefore, different aspects of yourself may be expressed in brilliance at different times. It is simply a matter of looking at whatever you are doing and expressing in a particular time framework, and what aspect of yourself in that time framework is expressing that brilliance.
Okay.
Are you understanding?
Yeah, I can see that. So when she said in regard to me, and maybe it's true of others as well, that I didn't trust it or that something was holding me back.
I would not necessarily express that you didn't trust it or that you don't trust it, but rather that, in a manner of speaking, you could say that whatever is holding you back is simply confusion or a lack of definition. That you didn't know what to define as brilliance, or perhaps how to define brilliance, and therefore that could be viewed as a hindrance or an obstacle, because that could hold you back in the capacity that it prevents you from necessarily acknowledging or seeing something in yourself that is being expressed in that brilliance, and therefore not expressing it more, but not necessarily in relation to not trusting yourself with it, or not expressing it, or holding you back necessarily. I would say it simply has been a factor that you didn't quite know how to define it.
Okay.
Don't quite know how to define something, it creates a situation in which it is more difficult to see what you are trying to define.
Okay, I'm trying to think where to go with that. So one of the things that circles back to the curiosity, let's see what the time is. One of the things I've been doing is trying to find the sense of freedom in not knowing and not having answers, because, you know, my constant thing of wanting to understand and wanting to have answers and to figure it out. And one of the things I've been trying to do is find freedom in curiosity. And so maybe that's part of the piece that I haven't recognized as being a part of my current brilliance or shining. And I've been trying to let things flow, but I have some opportunities that I guess I'm wondering about my motivations, or whether it's curiosity or when it's, you know, motivation of trying to find a career path. And one of the things I've been considering is taking a graduate class, just one graduate class that could be a part of a certificate in learning design and technology. And I guess I just don't have a sense of whether that's me trying to figure out another career or whether it could actually be something that was genuinely a curiosity.
What is your interest in it?
I think it's expanding what I have learned and experienced and developed in learning design, and seeing if I was interested in the more technical part. I've always thought I'm not very technologically inclined, and that's part of what I'm enjoying about the video class, because it's so much of it is computer based, and I don't know. I don't know if I would enjoy doing that or not. It is something that at the same time would make me more marketable in terms of a career.
What I would say is, isn't that what curiosity is?
Yeah. I think I tend to, I'm questioning it because, you know, I also have a career incentive link to it.
I understand. Yeah. Yeah. And there is nothing wrong with that. I would express to you that is merely identifying another benefit to this action. But I would express that you are expressing curiosity, that is what curiosity is, when you are looking at a subject that you don't know, and you don't know if you like it or if you don't like it, and you are motivated to explore.
Okay.
And to try it, and to evaluate whether you like it or you don't like it. You are in that expression of being curious and expressing that openness to allow yourself to explore the subject, to attempt it, and in that you aren't necessarily committing yourself to anything. You are simply attempting something in a new direction and evaluating whether you like it or whether you don't.
Okay. That sounds right. Okay. All right. The other thing, it's a less time-consuming commitment, but it links back to my so-called failed business. I have a class scheduled to teach with the community college. It's on self-care and mindfulness for wellness. It's an 8-hour class, sharing a lot of the touch practices I've done and some of the other practices I was engaging in when I shut down my business. And I've revisited, I've been revisiting and the touch practices and some of the other mindfulness, the neuroscience and the neuroplasticity components. And I feel increasing curiosity and interest towards in those subjects, but I'm really hesitant at this point to share those. But I just don't feel that
right.
I'm ready to do that. And because I'm not good enough at them yet. I think I want to be able to genuinely walk the talk. And I think
let me stop you one moment. Let me express to you that first of all, this is also another area of curiosity. And what I would also express to you is that you don't have to be accomplished in a particular direction. You don't have to be perfect in it. You don't have to be an expert in a particular direction to share. And in that, allowing yourself to share actually gives you the opportunity to gather more information, because when you share with other individuals any subject, you also are placing yourself in a position to be open to their input. And in that, then you have the opportunity to gather more and new information that can add to what you already know and add to your experience, and therefore is building your knowledge and your experience with that particular subject.
Okay. That sounds
Let me good. Also say to you that even when other individuals express in relation to something you already know, many times they may be expressing it from a different angle. Therefore, adding to your knowledge even in something that you are already familiar with, because they present a different perspective in relation to what you already know. It is simply a matter of approaching the situation or the interaction from that angle of being open to what you can receive and what you can add to your knowledge by sharing and then allowing yourself to receive from other individuals.
Okay. And
everything is an opportunity to learn. Therefore, even as a teacher, as you know, you always are presenting to yourself, even as a teacher, the opportunity to learn, because everything is an opportunity to learn. Therefore, it is a matter of moving in that direction, holding that perception, and in that, you don't have to know all of the subject. You don't have to be tremendously accomplished at a particular subject. You are in the stage of the curiosity. You are exploring
Well, cool. I think if I take that approach, maybe I'll draw to me actual people in the class this time. Thank you.
I agree.
I'm gonna take it.
Thank you. All right. I'm going to pass the baton.
All right, we're switching over to me. Hello.
Very well.
I must say that I've got myself a bit discombobulated thinking about our conversation today. I've written notes and I don't know, just I'm gonna have to set them aside and just see where it goes, because I wanted to return to our conversation that we were having about my experience with skin cancer. And I'm rather pleased with my experience with that I was able to not follow the feelings and focus on the manifestation and feel like I allowed my body consciousness to do its natural healing and chose to have this Mohs procedure, which I'd never heard of, and apparently it's very common, but I had the procedure done and it verified that my skin was clear of the cancer.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it was, like you had said, it was challenging emotionally in a much different way than, you know, the surgical procedure I ended up having with the blocked a small intestine, but I feel like I was rather successful.
And I agree, and I would very much congratulate you, my friend. Well done.
Thank you.
And exceptionally well done in not following the feeling.
Yes, that, I could tell the more I became aware of it, it became easier and easier just to stop it and just nip it in the bud, so to speak. Just like, oh, I'm not doing that. Because it's amazing when you do it, when you follow the feelings, it's often like, why am I inflicting this on me? You know, it's just ridiculous that you don't realize that you're inflicting something on you sometimes by following the feeling.
I would express tremendously congratulations. And what I would say to you is that is an excellent identification of what you are doing when you are following the feelings. You are correct. You are inflicting on yourself.
And it makes sense, the physical toll that it starts to take on our bodies.
Definitely.
And another piece of that, you know, in the conversation when we first talked about it, I suggested that it reflected cancer, a lack of self-acceptance, and in particular the skin cancer for me was me not being comfortable in my own skin. And I think that's what got me so convoluted the past few days. It's like, oh no, the session's about to happen, pressuring myself to figure out, you know, where is my discomfort? What am I comfortable with? What does it mean to be in my own skin? And so that was what I wanted to discuss with you today. And
what have you evaluated in relation to what does that mean to be comfortable in your own skin?
Well, I think part of it is just being at ease with how I am in the world, and just with not just my physical body. I think there's an element of being literally comfortable in my own body, but being at ease with my unique way of being in the world, how I experience things, how I express them. And for me, a lot of that is just being even aware of it.
I agree. And I would say that being comfortable in your own skin is being confident, being relaxed, not doubting yourself, not constantly questioning yourself. And that doesn't mean that you don't have moments in which you might doubt or question yourself, but that in general, you don't. In general, you are confident with yourself, you like yourself, you accept yourself. And you accept all the different aspects of yourself, the parts of yourself that you like and that you don't like. All.
Yeah, that resonates with, and I think sometimes it's easy to hold back in the areas that either I don't like or they seem different or like doing. One way I think just that I am to process is not so much thinking, but as I need to move, I need to have movement in nature or just some kind of movement so my objective brain is busy and that the subjective part of understanding can work. Like when I run, I have my brain doing this rhythm of counting so that my brain's occupied or my objective part of me is occupied so that I can run and just be in that space. And I think a lot of times I create structures that I haven't honored that, and I'm doing more and more at work. I'm giving myself that kind of space and movement and realizing that I actually am way more productive when I'm not just sitting trying to figure something out.
I agree, and I would very much acknowledge you that that is an excellent model for you to use as an example to yourself, that you can use that subject of running as your personal metaphor in a manner of speaking. You can even use it as your own mandala.
Yeah, I can see that, and I think that's, I'm fond of metaphors, I think. and curious imagery. So, are there particular areas where you could identify that I'm struggling with that us talking about might help me?
What I would say to you is, not necessarily in a specific or particular expression, but what I would say to you is I will give you another example that can help you, that you can use in association with being comfortable in your own skin. Now, in this, it can be applied in the capacity of think about any experience that you have had previously in your life that you aren't necessarily comfortable with or that you don't necessarily like or agree with, but that you have generated some type of expression, and let us use it in the capacity that whatever the experience may have been, it influenced another individual in a manner that you wouldn't necessarily express as positive. Some individuals may think of an experience as a parent that they may have influenced their child in some manner that wasn't necessarily positive. Or a different family member, a parent or a sibling that you may have expressed in some manner that you look back on now, you can see how that may have influenced someone else or even a friend. You can see how that may have influenced someone else in a manner that you don't necessarily think is positive and that you could almost be regretful of. Now, the reason that I choose that type of experience is because that is an excellent example of how to become comfortable in your own skin in every capacity, not only in what you like about yourself, but being able to accept those aspects that you don't necessarily like about yourself or about your experiences or your behaviors at times. In that, being able to look at those types of experiences, accept them for what they were at the time, not for what you judge them to be now, but having the ability to look at those experiences for what they were at the time, and what position you were in at the time, and being able to see that now, and rather than simply looking back and creating a judgment about that was bad, or that was a terrible experience, or you regret doing that, rather than expressing in that manner, being able to accept those expressions, that experience for what it was at the time and what position you were in at the time, and how that now can be employed or used as a benefit. How even the acknowledgement of that experience now can be beneficial. And when you are comfortable in your own skin, when you can accept your experiences as part of you as a whole, that actually not only benefits you now, but it also benefits other individuals, because there are different factors that do allow that to ripple out and be considerably beneficial. One, it provides an example to other individuals that it is acceptable that none of you are perfect, or that you don't perceive yourselves to be perfect. It is acceptable that you generate experiences that you don't necessarily agree with, or you don't like, or you aren't proud of. That you connect with people in relation to those experiences, and that they can encourage each other because you can all recognize that you all have experiences that you don't necessarily like, but that doesn't define you as a person. None of it does.
It seems like in the past 10 days or so that I went through a subjective experience similar to that while I was running a few times, where I returned to encounters, sexual, with 6 individuals in my life, beginning when I was involved with a married man when I was 17, I think. But I went through this subjective experience of looking at that with a different lens. I wouldn't say it was still, it was uncomfortable, but looking at it from the lens of where I was then and where I am now, and finding appreciation for it and them, even though it was, you know, a beneficial experience, but it was also very uncomfortable to when I judge or look at it from a perception of that kind of assessment.
Yeah. It doesn't mean that it changes your association with the experience. And remember what an association is. It is your evaluation and your stamp, in a manner of speaking, on that experience. This experience was good, this experience was neutral, this experience was bad, never repeat, don't like it. That is your stamp on the experience. That is your association with it. Now, in that, the association doesn't necessarily change, but your relationship to it changes.
Yes.
Are no longer looking at that experience as being absolutely bad. That doesn't mean you like it. That doesn't mean it is comfortable. that doesn't mean that you don't have a judgment, in a manner of speaking, about that experience, but that the absolute qualification of it as bad changes, because you recognize that even uncomfortable experiences are valuable.
Right.
Nothing is without value, except guilt. But in relation to experiences, all of your experiences have value.
And a lot of times it is, you know, like discomfort in our bodies and uncomfortable situations that motivate us or trigger somehow move us toward even more beneficial experiences.
Definitely. And let me explain to you. I would say to you, I recently was engaging with another individual in conversation that expressed that they have incorporated a recent experience of being exceptionally sad, looking at their experiences, looking at what they are aware of now, and feeling sad that they weren't aware previously in their life of what they are aware of now. And the individual presented that to myself in the capacity of perceiving that as bad, all of it as being bad. And I expressed that this was an excellent example of not being bad, of that something that you initially perceive as being bad actually is considerably motivating. Because for this individual, being sad now motivates them to express differently.
Right.
It motivates them to be more aware and to be paying attention, rather than automatic and not paying attention. Therefore, that expression, that feeling of being sad is actually good because it is very motivating.
Right.
Therefore, I agree with you. There are many experiences that you may have that are what you think of as uncomfortable, not good, or that you even think of as bad, but are they actually? Because they may be considerably motivating, and they may be the catalyst that moves you in a very beneficial direction.
Yes, I would say that's been very true in my life. But
I would say that is the impetus for most change. People change when they are uncomfortable.
Emotionally, physically, all of the different levels, I think.
Change when they are uncomfortable. They don't necessarily change when they are comfortable.
Well, this is interesting to think about being comfortable with areas that I don't necessarily like. That's I think that's very, very helpful.
Excellent.
One thing I noticed recently, I've been having more physical imagery, and a couple of weeks ago, we had a really positive, Robert and I had a really positive experience with a sailing coach, and we had just gotten back, and I was messing with our Dodger window in the sunlight, and suddenly my right eye just went bonkers. It had this web of, I guess they call them floaters, but my field of vision was covered with these black images so much that I couldn't see, and it was very disorienting. And I guess the physical manifestation was diagnosed as a vitreous hemorrhage. But I've been thinking about what that imagery was, since it was with my vision. And I'm not sure I quite understand that. It seemed like it was somehow related to me pressuring myself, perhaps. What, do you have information you'd share on that experience?
I would express an acknowledgement of that. It is a matter of pressuring, but I would say that it can be more than that. It can also be pushing, in which you are generating fatigue. You will notice when this type of action happens, you might not notice it beforehand, but you will notice, if you pay attention at the time, your eyes will feel tired. And in that, let me express to you, when your eyes feel tired, that is, in a manner of speaking, one of the extreme expressions of the body consciousness to gain your attention, that the entire body is tired.
Oh, wow.
That when you reach a point in which your eyes are tired, you have reached a point of extreme. And that is an indicator that you have been pushing, because your entire body is tired and you aren't noticing it. You aren't paying attention.
Oh, I definitely wasn't.
What happens is that when you reach that point in which your eyes are expressing that fatigue, at that point you have expressed a tremendous amount of pressure and pushing, and it doesn't mean that it has been for an extended time frame work. It could be a short time frame work. It simply means that at that moment you have reached a point of extreme, and when your eyes become tired in that capacity, they generate this type of manifestation. Now, fortunately, it isn't creating any type of permanent damage. This is what I have explained to other individuals in very simple terms. The manifestation of your vision in that capacity is you are experiencing an optic stroke, simply.
That's funny. I had that word come to me. So in that particular...
But it isn't the same as what you are familiar with that word.
Right.
Yeah. Because it doesn't create any permanent damage. And it does stop. And your eyes actually recover from that very quickly. But it is a significant manifestation, because generally speaking, when you begin creating that type of physical manifestation, you are likely to create it more frequently.
Right. Yeah, definitely. But I've been to, it's been to the eye doctor and had it checked twice, and it's healing, and it is definitely recovered. But related to the pushing on that day, was that related to the intensity of sailing, learning to handle that big boat and that experience?
Yes. And that pressure that you experienced in... that you have to do this, you have to be good at it, you have to learn this, and being uncertain, and therefore generating that tension and that pressure and that pushing with yourself. Let me express to you, my friend, nothing is that serious. Regardless of what it is, sailing is supposed to be fun.
I think I do make it serious.
I would express, I understand that when you are learning to engage with the boat and you are learning how to manage it in different capacities and different boats, that it can seem in the moment tremendously serious, but it is a matter of reminding yourself, yes, you seriously want to learn this, but it is supposed to be fun. And in that, your perception creates tremendous differences. You can be seriously engaging, learning a skill, and also not perceiving it as this is life and death.
Yes,
but rather, this is curious, this is interesting, this is fun, I can enjoy what I am doing and also seriously be learning this. Therefore, not creating that tension and that pressure.
You don't
have to be perfect.
It's definitely challenging for me on the level of trust, me and Robert, and not following the feeling of fear that I definitely can see myself going down that rabbit hole.
I understand. And this is a matter of catching yourself and stopping in the moment, noticing what you're doing and stopping in the moment even if it is necessary to physically stop in order to readjust yourself, whatever is necessary for you to readjust your perception and not move in those directions. Because let me express to you, I will reiterate that this manifestation with your eyes is not permanent, and it doesn't create a permanent damage. But once you begin moving in that direction, it is very easy to continue to create that repeatedly, and it can become very annoying. And not only annoying, but it can affect your vision more and more, and more frequently, and it can last long.
Mm. Wow. Well, I had no idea of this, the expression of the intensity of what it is expressing. I mean, I think I knew that I was feeling, I was pushing and pressuring myself, but I must say, give myself some credit, that the coach put me behind the wheel at the helm and had me do some pretty tight maneuvers, and I actually was proud of myself and enjoyed it. Uh-oh, we lost the call. I think we lost Mary, Linda. Maybe she has auto disconnect after. I don't know when we lost it. No, it's still showing. Hello? Maybe. Hello?